Okay, if you will, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to share something with you this morning that's been on my mind for a little while. And maybe if we do it the way I'm going to do it this morning, we'll have a little better understanding of the dispensation that we are in and what we're involved in. We'll start in Ephesians chapter 4, but first would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us and sent your Son to die for us. And by putting our faith and trust in what he did at Calvary, that he paid for our sins, that we do have eternal life with thee. And we have your word as the testimony of the assurance that we're sealed until the day of redemption. And Father, we thank you for those that are here, and we pray for those that cannot be here for various reasons. And Father, we continue to pray for the sick. We ask you to be with these people, to comfort these people, and let them look to thee for guidance and understanding. And Father, we ask you this morning to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 1, but that's not what I want to talk about, but I'm going to start in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now listen, he's talking to saved people. People that are not saved do not have the Lord in them. It's that simple. You understand? You either have the Spirit of God in you or the Spirit of Satan in you. I kind of challenge you to kind of consider that. You're either led by the Spirit of God or you're led by the Spirit of Satan. And I'm not talking about whether you're going out here dancing and stuff like that. That's not the issue. I'm talking about spiritual things here. Now, what I want to talk to you about is in verse 4. There is one body. How many bodies is there? What is that body? Go to chapter 1. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm laying some groundwork here because we're going to go in something that I have been told by several grace preachers and other denominational preachers that we are involved in. And I'm going to prove to you this morning, if you believe your Bible, there ain't no way you can be involved in it. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In other words, Paul's praying for these people that they see something. And that's what my prayer is for you, is to see something here this morning with your spiritual eyes. I'm not talking about seeing these books and all this stuff around me. I'm talking about spiritual things. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of this calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. How many bodies is it? How many churches is it? If there's one body, there ain't but one church, is it? Well, I've been told that we're in the book of Revelations. Now listen to me. Don't go to Revelations and just start in Revelations chapter 1. Now let's just see something. I know of a couple grace preachers, and I won't call their names, you'll know them if I did, that say we're in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. in the book of Revelation.
Jack Van Ante,
last time I watched him and heard him mention anything about where our position is in this dispensation, has us in the first four chapters of Revelation. Now, there's one body in it. When was that body formed? You remember what you read in Ephesians chapter 1? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. What did he do in Christ? He raised his body. Who is his body? The believer. We read that in Ephesians chapter 1. Where is the body at today? It's above all heavens, Ephesians chapter 2. You understand? It's above all heavens, seated in heavenly places in Christ, far above all principality and all power and all might. Are we in the heavens? No, no, no. Now you answered that too fast. Where are we at? We're above all heavens. You know why? You know who's in heaven up yonder? Satan. Satan is up yonder. Satan is kicked out in the book of Revelation. Let's just say this is his demoniac angels up there in heaven. We are above all of that right there. And God did that in A.D. 33 when he resurrected his son. He resurrected his body. One church. Now, but the book of Revelations is to how many churches?
Seven.
Yeah. Churches. All right. Let's just assume for argument's sake, for these people that say that we're going into at least the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Let's see if we can find out which one of these churches is us. Now, I mean, did God write to us? If we're in the book of Revelations, shouldn't I be able to find my instructions in the book of Revelation? God didn't leave me without instructions, did he? He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Well, how are you going to enlighten your spiritual eyes? By spiritual words. This book is made up of spiritual words from God. God is a spirit. John 4:24, John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, they are spirit and life. Listen, I know I don't have eternal life in this body. I had to go to the doctor the other day, and he just by looking goes through the ceiling when I come in there. My cholesterol, my triglycerides, my blood pressure, my sugar, everything goes sky high. I've lost 5 pounds and everything, listen to me, I've watched it for years. Every time I try to lose weight, all of my stuff goes sky high. You know what that tells me? I live in a body that's going to die someday. But according to this Bible, I have eternal life somewhere. You know where my eternal life is? It's in Christ. I'm already there in that eternity. I'm waiting on this vile body to be changed to go meet that new body that I got up in heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:38, God says he giveth it a body as it pleases him. In Philippians, he's going to change our vile body, make it fashion like him. You know why he's got to change our vile body? Blood, and all you got to do is think. What did he resurrect? Did we read in Ephesians chapter 1, the last verse, the fullness of him that filleth all in all? What fills up Christ? His body. I'm his body. I'm his righteousness, and I fill up his body. I'm a member of his body. Okay? Now, Revelation 1 verse 1, with all of that, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now listen, there ain't no doubt that you could prove that I'm a servant of the Lord. And if you do anything for the Lord, you're a servant of the Lord. Does that mean the book is written to you?
No.
How do you know that? How would you prove that? Go to chapter 7. Now listen, the answer's right in the verse we just read. There's one word in there that ought to hit your mind and your eyes ought to see something. Now Revelation chapter 7. Verse 1. After these things, this is John, the writer of the book of Revelation, saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Huh? Are you sealed by an angel? How are you sealed? By the Holy Spirit of promise. I don't need no angel to seal me. God Almighty sealed me. Verse 2, and I saw another angel ascending out of the east, having a seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels and said, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in the forehead. I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. I'm not a tribe. Are you a tribe? No. If you're saved, you're a member of his body. Now, go back to chapter 1. Verse 1. I'm going to see if you pick up the word that you should pay attention to that's in verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servant. Things will shortly come to pass. And he sent, signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
Angel.
What's in your mind right now? Somebody give me a verse.
Galatians
chapter 1, verse 8. Go there. Hold your place here. Go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Galatians 1, verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Go back, take Revelations, hold Galatians 1, take Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Verse 6. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. Are you earthlings? We're ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is? He's in a foreign land. We're spiritual beings. We're not earthlings. I'm not a Martian or can't live on none of them planets out there. I don't care what these scientists say. We are above all heavens. We've already read that. Now, what does this angel, what's he preaching? What would this angel be preaching to these servants? Well, let's see if we can find out. Go back to chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. Now, John's the writer of the book of Revelation. Chapter 1, verse 4. John to the seven churches, which are in Asia. Did John write to seven churches? Ephesians chapter 4. In the church, the body of Christ, he gave some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. There's not an angel mentioned nowhere in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, who did John write to? Seven churches. Who are the pastors of these churches? Got any idea? There are seven churches here. Who is their pastor? Angels. Let's see if we can figure this out. John, Revelation 1 verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be to you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. Now, I know it's tribulation time, you understand? So now, I got to find out what these angels are going to be preaching in the tribulation. So I'm going to ask the Master, Jesus, go hold your place here. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. And I know you're still holding Galatians, because we're fixing to go to Galatians in just a minute. Matthew 24. Most of Matthew 24, if you've got red letter, will be in red letter. They claim that really makes it official. Now, he's talking about the tribulation. Verse 13, he that endureth to the end of the tribulation, or the end of his life. In the tribulation, they have to give up their life. They die. You'll find that in Revelation 2 and Revelation chapter 12. Now, verse 13, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. End of what? End of tribulation. What's being preached in the tribulation? Gospel of the kingdom. Not the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the kingdom. Now, is Jesus a man? He sure is. Peter identified him a man. Paul identified him a man. He's a man. You understand? In a body, a human man body. Now, go to Galatians 1, verse 9. Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. If Jesus Christ was here today on this earth preaching the gospel of the kingdom, he would be accursed of God. You understand me? And I don't care whether people like that or not. I'm telling you what the Bible says. If any man, Jesus Christ, was a man in his earthly ministry. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he trained 12 apostles to carry on a ministry after he was going to go to Calvary and be crucified. And in John chapter 3, he told Nicodemus, a man must be born again. And we read in Colossians chapter 1, he's the firstborn from the dead. Jesus Christ had to be born again, if you please. He had to be born of the Spirit to go back to where God the Father is. He had no other way to get there. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You understand? So, if Jesus Christ were here while Paul is instructing the church, the body of Christ, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom, he'd be accursed of God. God would have to obey his word, and he would have to curse him. And what about an angel? Same thing. Galatians 1 verse 8. Though we are an angel from heaven preaching any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. Well, in the book of Revelations over here, after the rapture of the church, the body of Christ, you got the Hebrew epistles over here, Hebrews through Revelations, and they are not doctrine to the church, the body of Christ. If you go over here and pick up doctrine out of here and try to apply it in here, you're going to be accursed of God. You understand? God will have to curse you according to his word. He can't go against his word. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to show you and prove to you this morning, if you believe your book, when somebody tells you that you're in any part of the book of Revelation, you're yawn real big and pray for it. Especially if he calls himself a preacher. Because if he's preaching that to people, he's calling his people to believe that. You understand? And he's making them a child of the devil. Now, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in the book, send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. And he names these churches. And I've heard people tell me, well, didn't Paul go to some of these towns? Well, sure he went to Ephesus. Didn't he? What's the first church he named there? Ephesus. Look at it. On to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. He named seven churches, didn't he? Go to verse 18. I am he that liveth, was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, let's see what these preachers are preaching. Go to chapter 2, verse 1. There are seven churches. There are seven angels. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Who is John writing to? Who is he writing to?
An angel.
The angel is over the church. You understand? The angel is the preacher. Do I need to stop right here and let's talk about it in a minute? Listen, what we're trying to find out is, are we going to go in to the first 3.5 years of the tribulation? The tribulation is in two parts. 7 years long. The Antichrist can't be revealed until the church, the body of Christ, is taken out of here. We're withholding him from being revealed. So when he's revealed, he comes in according to Daniel chapter 11 and 12 and other places. He comes in making peace. He don't come in beating people up. He comes in and makes world peace. And right in the middle of this, 3.5 years, 42 months, he causes the sacrifice. Daniel 9:27. He causes the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Makes an image. You've got to take this mark of this beast or you're going to die. 3.5 years of good time, and that's where they claim we're at right there. Well, when does that start? Can you tell me? It's going to be after the rapture. I don't know. I'm asking you, can you tell me? I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be an hour, half hour, 30 minutes, a month, a week. But I know we're going to be taken out of here, aren't we? God is going to send some people a strong delusion during this time right here. You know what this character has the power to do? Make fire come down. You know who a type of that was in the Old Testament? What about Elijah and the 450 prophets back there? What about those that had the altar back here? And he said, call on your God. Maybe he's asleep. They put the sacrifice on the altar, and they called on their God from morning to night, and no fire came down. The man of God, he built him an altar, and he poured, and I forget how many barrels of water on it, and around it, had a moat around it. Water. The fire of God came down and licked it all up. The water in the trench and all. This character has that power to do this over here. And they say over here, who is able to fight against this great man of God here? Blow, the world's been made ready right now for this thing. And it's getting closer and closer and closer. I think about the statement that Apostle Paul made, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Well, if he thought it was near in his days, you reckon what he'd think about here today? Yeah. Back into the context of this thing. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars. You know what the stars are? Look at verse chapter 1, verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which I saw is in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now this is going to be important as we go along here. You remember, John's writing to angels. Angels are over these churches. No angels over the church, the body of Christ. You understand? Men. Sorry about that, ladies. Men. God does not call women to preach. I don't give a flip how much knowledge they have about right division or anything such as about the Bible. God does not call women to preach. He called men. Well, I'll tell you what to do. I shouldn't have brought it up, but I did. And let's look at something. Hold your place here and go to Timothy. I apologize. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I didn't tell you which one. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. 1 Timothy 3 verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Now, boy, you could probably get a lot of argument with that today, because we got men marrying men and women marrying women nowadays. So which one's the husband? Confusion. That's what it is. It's confusion. You know who the author of confusion is? Satan. I just want you to see it's a man desires the office of a bishop. Go back to Revelation chapter 1 now. So these stars are angels. Verse chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. In other words, the candlesticks are churches. The stars are the angels over the churches. Now, he's writing to the first one. The first one is there in chapter 2, verse 1. Now, let's see what he tells them. I'm not going to read all of it because I want to compare some things, and I won't have time if I read out of the word. You go home and you study all of the chapter 2 and chapter 3 especially. Now, this angel, verse 7, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, how many churches is there today? One. His body. He ain't but one body, yet many members. You understand? Now, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Do we need to eat the tree of life?
No.
Where is my life at?
Right.
Go, hold your place there. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Is the Lord Jesus Christ our hope? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Where's my life at? It's in Christ. Go to Colossians chapter 3. I don't need to eat of the tree of life, so I'm not in that church in Ephesus. You understand? Are you following me? Here's the seven churches over here. They say we are in part of Revelations over here, so he's writing to seven churches, and I'm trying to find out which one of them churches I belong to so I can get on with the instructions in that church. You understand? I want eternal life. I don't know about you. I want eternal life. Not in this body, but in my glorified body. So I got to follow my instructions to get that. So I find out that my eternal life is in Christ, and Christ was resurrected in AD 33. Now, watch what he says here. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, well, were we? He said we were in Ephesians 2, verse 6. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead. You're dead. Alan, you're dead. If you're in Christ, you're dead. We're just waiting to take our last breath. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Is my life in Christ or is it in a tree? It's in Christ. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Well, my life is in Christ. Go back to Revelation chapter 2. Hold chapter 2 and go to verse 20, chapter 22. And I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to read part of it. Verse 1, Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. Huh? Have I got to get to this river to get life? And he showed me, this is John writing to these seven churches. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life. Well, those in Ephesus, they got to get to the tree of life, ain't they? Come on back to chapter 2 with me. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first, the last, which was dead, and is alive. I bet y'all ain't paying a bit of attention to what I'm reading. Who is doing the talking? You missed it. You just run right through it and you missed it. Chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars. Chapter 2, verse 8, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Who's doing the talking? God Almighty is through the angel. You understand? Then you know you could go back right here to Exodus 23, and God warned Moses and them, said, I'm going to send an angel before you. Y'all know any time you see angels in this Bible that has to do with Israel, there are no angels in Romans to Philemon. You ain't got no guardian angel. Now, you may have a friend stop by and help you change a flat tire or pull you off the side of the road if you break down, but it ain't no stinking angel. God ain't dealing in angels today. If it is, you better check him, because Satan has got his angels all over the place today. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, check them out. Now, in Revelation chapter 2, this angel unto the church of Smyrna, what does he tell these people? Verse 10, for none of these things which thou shalt fear, none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, didn't Paul tell Timothy that Jesus Christ had abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel? He sure did. Well, has he abolished death for me? I can't die. Now, I may have to go to sleep, but I can't die. Come over to verse 12. Verse 12, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. And y'all know what Hebrews chapter 4 says about the sharp sword that goes out of his mouth. Pierces even to the dividing of the marrow of the bones. Now, what did he tell them? Come down to verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. Now you going to get a new name or a new body? You're going to get a body. I ain't looking for a new name. I'm looking for a body. God to change my vile body, Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Now, verse 18, this is the fourth angel. Unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. I know thy works, the charity and service and faith, and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Now, he talks to them about these things, about repenting of some things. Come to verse 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As a vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. You know what the morning star has to do with? Has to do with the second coming. Jesus Christ is gone, beloved. He told them in the book of John back here, I'm going away. I will come again over here. That ain't none of your promise here. John 14 has nothing to do with the doctrine in Romans to Philemon. Now, let's look at this thing. Go to chapter 22 again. Revelation, hold chapter 2. Go to Revelation 22. Might as well go ahead and take Isaiah while you're at it. Isaiah chapter 14. Now, Revelation 22. verse 16. Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in this churches. You understand? He's still dealing with seven churches. I am the root, the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Well, that's the second coming, beloved. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Well, what's he thirsty for? He's thirsty for a crown of life. And he's got to get to that river of pure water. And he has to eat of the trees, the leaves of the trees, for healing of the nations over there. You understand? There were two trees we read about out of the, on either side of the river, and the water was a river of life. That will match John chapter 4. When Jesus Christ is dealing with the woman at the well, he said, you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst again. It'll be a river of water in your belly unto eternal life. I don't believe Adam had any blood in him. I believe he had clear, crystal, clear liquid in his veins. You know the first thing they do when you get sick, y'all know what, if you ever been to the doctor, they stick a needle in you, draw a bunch of blood out, and they put it in a lab, and they say, well, I know what's the matter with him. Well, I can tell the doctor what's the matter with me. You don't have to draw my blood out. I know what's the matter with me. Sin dwells in me. Sin. Death passed upon all men. Why? Because all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why? Because you was born bad? No, because of Adam. We inherited Adam's tainted blood. Adam took blood poison, if you please. Y'all know when Jesus Christ was resurrected, he did not never say, come touch me and feel me. A spirit hath not flesh and bone and blood as you see me have. You know what he left out of that?
Blood.
Why? He shed his blood. He got rid of that tainted blood. He was a virgin-born son of God. He didn't have Adam's blood in him. If he'd have had Adam's blood in him, God would have had to find some other way to get him back to where he was. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And you drain your blood out, you're going to die. You ain't going to live long. You're going to die. Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, sent mine angel to testify to you the things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Go to repeat Isaiah 14. Now, Isaiah 14 is after the tribulation. How do I know it? By what the words say. Now, let's start in verse 4. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. You'll find this in Revelation 17. In Daniel chapter 11, this is the Antichrist, this is the king of Babylon. You'll find him talked about as the king of Tyrus in the Ezekiel. Now, verse 5. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath in a continual stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindered. The whole earth is at rest. Well, you can't say that's ever been in from Adam on down anywhere. You can't find where the whole earth has been at rest, have you? Can you? You know the only people I can find in the rest? The church, the body of Christ. Paul said, you who are troubled, rest with us. You'll find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. You who are troubled rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on them that will not God. Flaming fire. Going to burn them up someday. Now watch what he says. So I know this, when the earth's at rest, is after the tribulation. Yea, verse 8. Yea, the fir tree rejoices at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laying down, no feller has come up against us. He's talking about the Antichrist. Now he's in the bottomless pit here. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. The noise of thy vows, the worm is spread unto thee, the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, bright morning star? Do you know that's what your new translations do? They make Lucifer the bright morning star, and it's a contradiction of what you read in Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. I am the bright morning star. And your new translations make Lucifer the bright morning star. Now, if you've got a book that does that, throw it in the garbage or burn it. Don't let nobody even see it. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Now watch what God says. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. And there ain't no water down there, beloved, for this man. To the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the snake that made the earth to tremble? No. You see, you got these idiots that say that back then in the Garden of Eden, that Satan was a snake and he was hissing. No, Satan was a man. Y'all know how you know he's a man? Just the same as they do with Leviathan. If you've ever studied Leviathan, they say Leviathan is a fish in the sea. It ain't no such a thing. It's the devil. Go to Revelation 12. Let me show you something. Revelation 12. And it has to do with Israel and bringing forth a child and all. And this child is caught up. Well, verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years, 1,260 days, 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought his angels, and prevailed not, neither was that place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. As in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, when Jesus Christ was instructing these people, he said, he that saveth his life, over here he takes the mark of the beast so he can buy and sell. If he does, he loses his eternal life. Can you lose your eternal life? No, you can't. You're sealed to the day of redemption. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And we have the earnest of that in our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, what do we want? We want to go home. I spent 3 years in the Marines. In the first 3 months, I wanted to go home. Boot camp was no fun. The minute night I laid in the bed, oh Lord, Mama, I wish I hadn't did this. Mama, you tried to tell me not to do this. I wanted to go home. I'm wanting to go home. This is a foreign land to me, knowing what I know about this Bible. And you know what? If you can get into the mind of Paul in Romans to Philemon, and when Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt and between having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Paul knew to get out of his body, he could be in the presence of God Almighty in no other way. So he was willing and confident rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. In other words, you can't go in the presence of God in this body, and you can't change what you are. No matter what you do, you can't change what you are. Now, you can stop doing what you ought not to do wrong, but it won't change what you are. Only God Almighty can change your body, make it like unto His glorious body. One last thing. Go back to Revelation chapter 1. Come to John hears this voice, verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And behold, I turned and saw seven golden candlesticks. You remember what the candlesticks are? They're churches. Seven churches John saw. He didn't see the church, the body of Christ. John never suffered for the church, the body of Christ. You know who suffered for the church, the body of Christ? Paul did. One last thing. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Let's start in verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him, to reconcile all things unto himself. And you know, when I read that thing over there in the book of Revelation, I don't find no peace over there. I find a lot of turmoil and a lot of ifs and ands. If you do this, if you don't do this. Same as I find back here in the instructions to Moses, if you do this or don't do that. Now, having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him of faith, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now watch what he says. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. John never suffered for the church. Paul filled it up. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. I appreciate you being here this morning. It's good to see each and every one of you. My time's gone, and I appreciate your time this morning. Good to see each and every one of you.